Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, July 2nd.
Good morning, how are you?
Hi, we're good, but the U.S. soccer team lost.
Yeah.
So, some people are not as doing as well as I am this morning, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a good game, though. Well, they started off really slow.
Really?
Yeah.
Both teams?
You didn't watch it at all?
No, not at all. I know a lot of people did. I did not have time. I didn't even know it was taking place until afterwards.
Both teams kind of started off slowly. Both teams were kind of trying. Mm-hmm. And USA got a good few. They were close a couple times. And so were Belgium.
Yeah.
The goalie, Tim Howard, I mean, he just did an incredible job.
Yeah, I see.
Really,
this,
really good job.
There's articles all about him, all over the place. I guess he reached some kind of a world record for blocking 16 times.
Oh, really?
In
I didn't know that.
The World Cup, yeah.
But he just did an incredible job. And it was when the guy that scored had been on the field for like 5 minutes, not even that long. And he's like a younger guy. And I think just the youthness of him and his age and being just full of energy, just got on the field. I think that helped the USA. And then they tried to fight back. But at that point, Belgium had scored 2 goals.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
So was that the final
score? It was all in extra time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 2-1, but it was all in extra time.
Oh.
They tried to fight back, but it just wasn't enough.
Didn't work, huh?
No, just wasn't enough. But it was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least I think they ignited some excitement in the U.S., so that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It was a good game, and it's sad that runs over because they were playing really well towards the end, and if they just had done that from the start, then they would have done.
Yeah.
But I think if any other team had played against Belgium, the score would have been, a lot. Belgium would have scored a lot more goals.
Really?
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think that Tim Howard just did a great job. I mean, I think that Belgium could have scored at least 4 or 5 goals.
Are you serious?
Against another team,
Really? Wow.
And this is the first team that's kind of challenged Belgium. They had an easy run.
Oh, really?
Then, pretty much.
So now with England and the U.S. out, who are you rooting for now? Brazil?
No one.
Some kind of like Ghana or something?
Yeah, now I'm pretty much just like, whatever.
No stakes in it anymore,
No,
huh?
No. I knew it was going to be tough for USA to get through yesterday.
Yeah.
But they did well.
Yeah, they haven't had easy games, actually.
No.
You know, those have been strong teams.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And it's some good teams in the... Well, now I know who I'm rooting for. I want a European team to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like a European team
to win. Pick like Germany or Italy. Is Italy still in?
I don't think so. Maybe the Netherlands are in? They
are
in.
Yeah, Netherlands have a good team.
Yeah, they have a good team. Maybe I'll start rooting for them.
Yeah.
Just jumping on the bandwagon.
I was so into it when I was growing up. I knew all the players and everything
really?
From different countries. It was amazing, yeah. But now I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
when it comes around every 4 years, it's like,
Yeah.
A lot to learn just from a couple of games.
I know, but it's like you prepare for these 2 games like for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you lose them.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that, I mean, it's kind of, well, I guess they have a lot of games during season, but I mean, the World Cup is the biggest thing that you can do for your country.
Yeah.
And especially England, they train all this time working towards the World Cup and they lose two games, both games.
Yeah.
And then they're out. And it's like, this is all you guys are really working for, but that must be so disappointing.
Right. And I think everybody looks to England to have a good team.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. All the time.
Right.
And we don't. We're terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's so embarrassing.
Oh, well, maybe the next generation or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe in 4 years.
Yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to a teen mom. Apparently, she was on the show at
the
one point.
Yeah, the first season of Teen Mom.
Right. And now she's into projects and stuff, so we're going to find out exactly what she does. She was going to come to the studio, but she's busy, I guess, signing and things like that
in
LA.
Yeah, it looks like she's a book signing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we gave her project away.
But, so this sounds interesting. Did you enjoy the show yesterday with our guests in the studio?
Yeah.
We had about four guests, which was, some people wrote me, they're like, ask the guests to be closer to the mic. I'm like, you see, I'm right.
Right.
You know, when I say only four people in the studio, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because then, you know, people start gathering around the microphone. You can't hear any of them.
Right.
But, you know, there were four great people and they're promoting rock again. Rock Against Trafficking.
Yeah, a great cause.
Right. And but I couldn't help be distracted by the beautiful woman in here. I mean, she was stunning. And and I'm like, how do I get somebody like this, you know? I'm really insecure about my age, I got to tell you, man. Aww. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, no, but, you just got to embrace it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's like you go, well, should I try and ask her out or am I too old for this? You know, I mean, am I not going to have a chance or what? You know, but you got to try. You know, she seemed like in her 30s. I mean, that's not a big deal. 20-year difference. It's okay. It's just dinner, for crying out loud, you know.
Yep.
I don't have to marry her.
And, hey, this is L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
There's 20-year-olds going out with 70-year-olds, so...
Yeah, that would be a little ridiculous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because, you know, when you look at other people and you look at young people, you feel young, you know.
Yeah.
And that, just like dogs, when they look at us, they probably think they look like us, you know, because they don't know what they look like. They only see what they see.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's the same thing, you know. I don't know.
Did you ever text the lady?
I did. The one that you offered.
Yeah.
And she was actually glad I did. But this thing is falling apart. Yeah. It's she's sort of disappearing. And it's just that it's curious to me, you know, because you have so much fun and so much chemistry. And I mean, she's the one that expressed it.
Yeah.
That night and stuff. And, you know, we spent a couple hours talking and everything. And then she just cracked some bad joke. I joined her on the joke. And ever since then, she said, I killed it, but apparently she's the one killing it because I'm willing to get over it, but she's not.
Right.
Or whatever it is, yeah. But something happened. And, we just move on to the next one, you know? I'm not heartbroken at all. It's not about that, you know?
Yeah.
You just meet a person once and stuff.
Right.
But you always think what could have happened, what would have been, you know?
That's the worst
I think
question.
It would have been a good one, yeah. But that's the thing, you know, I mean, you might have chemistry and everything, but you don't know the person. You don't know what might tick them off.
Right. And yeah, completely. And at least you're learning now.
Yeah, you know, and make them change their mind. But it could have been different with somebody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you crack a dirty joke with someone and then expect them not to respond to it in the same way? I just don't get it. But, you know, what do I know, right?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. So, So Radio Temptation is really getting racy over there. I mean, these girls are like, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, they take off their clothes. It's like they feel so in their own element when they take off their clothes,
wow.
You know. They got to show off their boobies. Some of them will show other things. And it's like, I mean, look, I'm not complaining at all. The listeners love it. You know, we have video there too, so people get to see what goes on in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I can't help but think these girls, you know, when they sit around and talk and the way they act and stuff is worse than guys sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
They're like so like into what they do and, you know, and into sex and stuff. It's just incredible to me that, you know, many guys are not like that.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, so that's what fascinates me about them, because most women are obviously not like that, you know.
But the station's going well.
There's some sense of decency.
Yeah.
The station's going very well. We're getting new shows and everything.
Great.
Exposure from the media and stuff. So, yeah, we're getting a lot of people that are coming from other places and stuff. So I'm really excited. I mean, the vision is coming together. Fans are happy. The hosts are happy. And it's just, a good time. You know, why not?
Right.
Yeah. So...
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps me busy, Charlotte, you know? out of trouble, you know? Yeah, I used to have empty evenings, so at least now I have something to do, you know?
Exactly.
Definitely. And I look forward to it. I like being around people.
Right.
You know? I mean, this station I ran, like the first 2 years, I ran it all by myself. And that was, that was gruesome because...
Yeah, I bet. I was exhausting.
Yeah, it was really exhausting. And, I had to do all the stuff that I'm doing now, like in the background and stuff, mm-hmm. behind the scenes. So, I finally burned out on it, And now, thankfully, we have great engineers here that run the station and everything. And I work behind the scenes. But at the new station, I get to be hands-on again.
Yeah.
Until I burn out on them.
Right.
Then we'll get somebody else.
And then you'll get someone else. Then you start a new station.
Exactly. Always got to be starting something, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Otherwise, I lose interest. I'm pretty, I need stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes even when I get together with people and stuff, I will... After about an hour, I start getting impatient. I'm like, I got to get out of here, How much can we talk? How much can we, we said everything there was to say. So I don't know if it's a great way to socialize, but that's the way I am. I need, constant stimulation. So if I go to parties and stuff and I meet someone who's stimulating and the atmosphere is cool, then I feel great.
Right.
And that's what happened with that woman. I mean, she's smart and everything, and... The funny thing is I told her she's mature, and obviously she's not. So
I guess not.
Mature people don't behave like this.
No, it's true.
Yeah. So, cool. So how's Playa del Rey? You enjoying yourself
good.
There?
Yes. Yeah. I'm very happy down there. It's nice.
So what do you do? Do you go by the beach after work? Or actually, you work late, right?
Yeah.
You don't have much time for it.
Last night, we went to the beach and just got a drink. After work, and that was nice.
Nice.
Relax.
Do they have restaurants or bars there?
Yeah, we went down to it's 5 minutes from Manhattan Beach.
That's right. Yeah, Manhattan is happening.
Yeah, I just love Manhattan. It's so beautiful. Manhattan and Newport. I love them both.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day you'll move. You won't need to be in LA. Start your family and stuff. Move to Orange County. And it's a great place for families, I hear.
Yeah, it's not as fast. I like the fast place city. I'm sure at some point it will. Yeah. It'll get old.
Get old.
So maybe, but Manhattan or Newport. But I like it down there a lot.
Mm.
It's nice.
It's different. It doesn't feel like L.A.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It feels like a whole different world, especially, in Sherman Oaks isn't really L.A.
Right.
But it's a completely different world from up here, too. So
it's true,
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. I like that you like it.
Yeah.
It's a good place. It's a good thing to be living where you like in your element.
Yeah. And I've never lived by the beach. So I'm enjoying that, being so close to the beach. And if I get off work early one day and I want to go to the beach, I can.
Right.
Which I've never been able to do ever. I mean, I'm from England.
Yeah.
It's like, you can go out and throw a snowball.
Yeah. So you get beaches here, which is cool.
Yeah.
Except I wish our beaches were nicer, our water is not great here.
Yeah.
It's cold, it's dirty sometimes, and even the sand is not that great, you get a lot of seaweed, and it's just not as much fun as when you go, I imagine when you're in Florida, it was, the beaches were a lot nicer, no?
Yeah, down in Sarasota, it's been rated, I think it was the number one beach in America.
Wow.
4 years in a row.
Really?
Siesta Key.
Yeah.
And that is just a beautiful beach.
Wow.
The sand is so soft.
Right.
So it is different from there, but I kind of like the beaches here. I don't mind them. I don't really like Santa Monica and Venice.
Right.
But moving down Marina del Rey, Playa del Rey, and then going down even further,
right.
They get more, there's not as many people, and the sand's a bit nicer.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's super crowded.
Yeah, I know.
I
know. Sometimes it's fun, though. I mean, it's happening. It's a happening place. But I know what you mean. Sometimes you just want to be alone on the beach.
Yeah,
you know,
I kind of just like laying there and not hearing a million people.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple weekends ago. I went to the beach for a couple hours and there was like hardly anyone around. Mm. I chose like a space away from everyone. Then suddenly, no joke, a group of 40 people came in like right next to me. And I was like, I have to leave.
Yeah.
Like this is not the relaxing beach day that I wanted.
Party, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, gotta go.
Wow. So, I mean, is it ever good weather to go to a beach in England or is it never a good time to go?
No.
No, huh?
No.
Never.
Really.
It's never warm enough or sunny enough.
I've never been to the beach in England.
Really?
I'm trying to think. Like, they have, like, there's a beach town called Blackpool. And it has, like, a roller coaster, like a pier with a roller coaster on it. Like one of the wooden ones, the old crickety ones. Uh-huh. And that's probably the only time I've ever really been to the beach. But you don't sit on the beach, really.
Right.
When I was younger, I'm sure I went. I think my grandparents took me. And I'm sure my mom did, too. But you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't really go to the beach. Especially where I live. I'm, like, really inland. So, yeah. No beach.
No beach weather or beaches there for you.
No. But it's even when the sun comes out, even if it's freezing cold, I'm sure people are like, let's go to the beach.
Yeah.
Because it's sunny.
I know.
And then it's really, really cold.
Yeah. I know. The guest, Gary, yesterday, he had a pretty heavy British accent,
thick
right?
Accent. That's
considered like heavy accent, right?
Yeah.
Or thick accent.
And that's like the Yorkshire accent, which is what... The whole place is called Yorkshire.
I see, okay. And it's kind of like choppy when they talk, you know? It's like, I can't do it, you know, but it seems like it's kind of choppy, you know? Not to say it's a bad thing, it's just harder to understand.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, I sounded like that when I first came.
Oh, really?
It wasn't as broad as that, maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, that kind of accent, and no one understood what I was saying.
Really?
Yeah, and it got really old, and I was like repeating myself like 10 times. It's like, I'm super over this. But yeah, and especially when it's a man and it's the deep voice.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm picturing true. One of the soaps in England. It's called Coronation Street, and that's like all the men's accents.
Really?
Are all like the deep, like Yorkshire accent.
Right.
And that's just what it's like.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Makes me feel at home hearing that accent.
I bet. And it's, what a coincidence you guys like were 60 miles away.
I knew as soon as I met him in the hallway, I knew he was from Yorkshire.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because the accents are just like here.
Yeah.
It has all different accents. And Yorkshire's particularly, you know if someone's from Yorkshire just from... Just how deep, I just know. I just knew. This is different from Newcastle, where they have like a Geordie accent, London, a Cockney accent, and then further south is a nicer English accent.
But, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew he was from around by me.
And he's a big man, so his voice was really deep and loud.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, this is a perfect... I was going to tell him he should be like a Darth Vader or something, you know? Do some voiceovers
for some
characters and stuff. All right, well, here's our guest calling, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning, you're on the air. Is this our guest for this morning?
Yeah, Farah, hi. Yeah.
Farah Abraham, welcome to the show. Is it Abraham or Abram?
It's Abraham.
Abraham.
Like Lincoln.
Okay, so I said it correctly. You see, I'm good with that, yeah. How you doing, Farah?
I'm doing great. So I'm out here in L.A., and my celebrity sex tape trilogy has just begun within the making. It's out now. So I'm very excited. Have you guys read it? What's going on?
Well, not yet. I mean, but we will after we talk to you. I'm sure we'll want to.
All right. It's going to be hot and heavy.
I'm sure.
Right.
Just by the name of it.
Yeah. It came out yesterday, right?
Yes, it did. For Barnes & Noble and on our Kindles or Amazon. So it's a very ebook, secretive, hush-hush right now.
Sounds good. Well, we'll talk about the book in a few minutes. We just wanted a little background on you. So you're visiting L.A. from where? Where do you live?
I am currently in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
so
okay.
So it's been great.
Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Nebraska.
Oh, wow. And yeah. So Nebraska to Texas, how did you end up there?
You know what? I guess God led me there. That's what I say.
Ah, okay. So you weren't following a guy or anything, huh? Maybe you were.
No, I was not. Well, maybe Fallon Opal does in Celebrity Sex Tape. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where were you? Because you were on the first season of Teen Mom. Where were you located when you first filmed that?
I was in Nebraska, Iowa. Those are two different states, but that's kind of where I lived, right there off the river of both of those states. And then they saw me film in Florida. And also there was a trip to Austin, Texas with a guy on Teen Mom.
Oh, okay. So, okay, well, that's cool. So you're in Texas now. Are you doing like the circuit pretty much? Is it just L.A. or are you going to a few other places?
We started doing press in New York, and now I'm here in L.A., and those are the two places I really enjoy doing media tours, so it's been really an enjoyable time.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you've got into books and everything. You were on TV. Have you considered moving to L.A. completely?
You know, I recently, you know, moved permanently to Austin. You know, I've thought about many different places and where I work, but Austin was the best fit for me.
Oh, wow. Right. That's pretty cool. So now you you became pregnant at 16, right?
That's why I was on 16 and Pregnant, yes.
Yeah, I guess. Now, so, I mean, when they have like 16 and Pregnant, is that like, I mean, is that okay? I guess it's okay, right, that you're underage and everything, because it doesn't matter. You're a mother, right?
I don't think it was okay for me to become pregnant at such an early age, and I would hope, you know, that's why we did the show, 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom, to show those hardships and the realities of being a young teen mother.
Right.
I would never want that for anyone, but in my circumstance, I also wasn't about abortion, and I was already on birth control, and I was dating somebody I truthfully loved,
so you know, that's ahead.
Just the way my life was. And right. I think everybody's situation is different, and they make their choices to better their futures. And I, you know what, my future is great, and my daughter is wonderful, so I'm very good and content with where I am.
That's amazing. And may I ask how old you are now?
I am now 23.
Wow.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So your daughter is about 6 years old and 7 years old maybe. And this is cool. So when were you featured on the show?
Okay, so I was on the show, like the last special that we did was Being Sarah with the MTV franchise of Teen Mom. Uh-huh. And that was in February, the end of February this year. Then since I have now moved on and I've done different shows like with VH1, E, Comedy Central, and so I'll just continue doing different shows.
That's cool. So it got you a little bit of fame where people are actually coming to you for projects and things like that.
Of course. And you know, I'm not really concentrated on that. You know, I move forward with different things all the time.
Right. So what are some of the things that you do?
Well, right now, I'm very focused on being an author and also a restaurateur. I'm planning on starting a franchise and doing things in hospitality because that's where my college and my background is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just plan on being a wonderful mother. So those are the things that I'm interested in, is entertainment and hospitality, and I think we all can agree.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
How did you, after 16 and Pregnant and doing Teen Mom, how did you get to the point where you realized you had a path and kind of a goal? Because a lot of the other people that were highlighted on that show, I mean, I definitely think that you are one of the more successful people to come from the show. You've gone on to, I mean, you did an album, now you're doing a book, and like you said, you've done other shows. How did you take that path and know that was for you?
I truthfully just gave it a chance. If I feel like seeing, or if I just feel like living life and seeing what opportunities come out of it, I just take advantage of what's in front of me, what comes natural. And I think others, you know, don't really have that drive and don't really just, they're not progressive. And that's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going into going into the book, how does that correspond with your life and resemble you? Because there has been, there was a scandal that you had to go through in the public eye. So have you kind of taken that into the book? And I mean, the name kind of parlays mm-hmm. with what happened.
Yes, I think the scandal of like royal celebrity sex tapes in my situation that I went through, I think because of pop culture, everyone is very much trying to figure out, you know, the fiction erotica book that I wrote, is it her life? Is it not her life? And I think when others do read the trilogy and the series, they will understand that Thara and Opal is very different from myself, and she has her true sexual journey that she goes on. And I think it will be interesting for others to, you know, because we're always judgmental and saying, oh, you know, that's what a porn star is. That's what a stripper is. That's what this and this is. And I think this erotic series helps others really depict, you know, where should we judge and where should we not? Is it just a phase? Is this, you know, great characters or qualities of somebody that should stay? And I think that's why I really, you know, I'm a reality star, and I kind of wanted to be very close to reality and some of the consequences shown through the character development of Fallon Opal.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Did you have any writing background before? Because, I mean, that's a pretty ambitious way to start with a trilogy.
I actually wrote a New York Times bestselling memoir, and it was called My Teenage Dream Ended. And that's what I started doing in 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. I started writing then, and it was kind of a therapeutic thing for me. And I still use my, you know, therapeutic ways through all my writing. And I'll continue to write more books. I think the next one will be like a paranormal book, because that's what I think is interesting right
Very
now.
Cool. So is that how you picked to talk about a sex tape, because that's what you find interesting? Because that's an interesting subject to tackle.
Yes. I think it was a popular and interesting topic in itself. And I guess who better than to be the top selling celebrity sex tape person to write an erotic novel about this topic? And I think that's why it's pretty amazing that I really did research and I took my time on this. And that's why I think it's a very compelling story.
Oh, okay. And it took three books to tell, which is amazing.
It took three books, and also I think it kind of gives you, like, you know, when you're watching your favorite show, right, it kind of lets you hang for a second and then really let your imagination fly for a little bit and then pick up when the next one comes out. And the next one will be out October for The Secrets Out. And that's going to be, I think the book signing will be in Ohio for Romanticon. So that'll be exciting with all the ladies.
Oh, cool. Now, I understand you're doing some signings here while you're here. Do you want to tell people when and where they can find you?
We actually did our big signing yesterday. So right now it's just, I'm going to, you know, Inside Edition, Us Weekly, and the different outlets, and sharing more with my fans and doing interviews about this exciting time, about the story. So I will catch them, you know, just look at my Twitter, F1Abraham, or my website, fairabraham.com, and you will get updates.
Sounds good. Yeah. Farrah Abraham, the book is Celebrity Sex Tape in the Making. And so this is like an erotic series.
Yes, this is.
Okay. So I see that you're... I mean, you obviously like erotica and stuff. You know, it would be difficult to write it without it. I mean, are your other projects going to be related?
I think romance and all of these things are a part of life and everyone's life.
Yeah.
I don't have, you know, like any weird sexual things. I think we're all on our own healthy journey with that.
Right.
And, you know, as I continue getting older, I have other interests and I'll write about those as well.
Right. Now, I mean, did you get any negative response when, I mean, because it's pretty unusual for girls to become pregnant at 16. Did you find it difficult?
I think everything's a little bit difficult when you have struggles and unplannedness to it. But really, you know, you could be a good or a bad parent at any age.
Right.
And I think it's all true to with what the person wants to be. I wanted to be a great mother. I wanted to get through those struggles, and that's where I have come to be.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Farah,
well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. This is fascinating. And we're definitely going to catch the books. I mean, I can see it's on Kindle now. People
give
can get
it. Reviews. Yes.
Yeah. We'll put some reviews on there. Definitely. And I want to read this. The woman on the cover looks like Kim Kardashian, but she's a little prettier. So that's good. If you guys want to get it for the cover.
That's good to hear because it was me being the model on there.
Really?
That's amazing. So much.
Yeah. All right, Farah, take care. All the best to you. Wow, she's already gone, man. Maybe she didn't enjoy this. She
Quick
was
exit.
Hurried. Yeah. What? Okay. At least she did her plugs. What can I say, you know? Wow.
Sounds like an interesting book.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We'll see. We'll have to catch that.
Yeah.
So what were we talking about before that? I forgot, but I guess it was the voice of our guest before.
Oh, yeah.
You guys should definitely catch that show from yesterday, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Rock Against Trafficking is an amazing cause to fight child trafficking. And even they're saying there's adult trafficking and slavery, too, around the world.
So definitely tackling a hard subject.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've brought on a lot of rockers on board, like Slash and Sting and people
and,
like that,
yeah,
you know.
Joss Stone and
right. Yeah, there were a few more. He mentioned Cher also. So they're putting together the album and they're going to release it, they're saying, around January or something. But all the proceeds are going to go, of course, to the cause. So if you guys want to help out and donate, it's rockagainsttrafficking.org, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And you can check out more information.
Yeah.
And on Farah Abraham, of course, just Google her and you'll find her site and her Twitter and everything. Like I said, I don't believe in giving out like Twitter addresses anymore. Nobody forgets, nobody remembers them. I sure don't.
Yeah, everyone just types in the name. But when you type in a name, everything comes up.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And then you have to say underscore and dash and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like long URLs. Yeah. So let's see. They're asking after Michael Jackson's death where his kids are now. Do we know what's going on with them? I mean, do you follow that at all?
I've heard things in the past about them.
Yeah.
I
mean, the daughter is very pretty. You know, she's got those amazing blue eyes. You know, have you seen her? What's her name? Paris or something?
I have a feeling that that they've done...
I think their mother wanted them a few months ago. I think I was reading something on that she was going to fight for
Paris,
custody.
Paris, Prince, and Michael Jr.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But I've seen a lot of photos of them crying.
Yeah. I know.
But I've seen something about her doing music. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I
wonder how old she is now.
She's older, right? Isn't she the.
Yeah, she's the oldest one. Yeah, but I wonder how old she is. Maybe 16, 18? I don't know. She looks younger here in the picture, but maybe that's a past picture. I don't know. But they somehow always seem to look sad, even when he was alive, you know?
It's true. And it's a sad thing about them. Yeah. Every photo that's snapped of them, they never look
They
happy.
Don't look smiling. No. Exactly. They don't look happy.
She's 16.
She's 16?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're almost right.
Mm-hmm. And just the way she wears her hair and always covered over her face.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what do you think about a teenager, you know, getting pregnant at 16? I mean, like we were talking to Farah about it.
Yeah.
This has got to like really affect your life, you know? I mean, and you're still a kid.
And I mean, the whole series was... Farah and another girl in the cast just got in a huge, I guess it was like a Twitter war because it was the first, I'm pretty sure it was the first season of 16 and Pregnant that they were on. And it was Caitlin, she got an abortion.
Mm.
And then now, a couple years later, she's having a child again.
Really?
And Farah apparently the comments weren't aimed at her.
Right.
But saying, when you've given up a child, why would you have another one?
Right.
But so there's That's always, true. It's just a, the show was about their separate lives and how they are dealing with being 16 and pregnant. And then Teen Mom was the sequel where they were now parents.
Oh, I see.
At first
okay.
it was just them being
So it's actually pregnant. Like the same series?
Yeah.
Oh, I well, see. Okay.
No,
that's
what... it's
I mean, because like one is Teen Mom and one is 16 and Pregnant.
Yeah. So it's a separate series.
Okay.
But it's a, what's it called?
It sort of evolved like a spinoff or something?
Yeah, like a spinoff. Yeah. Mm. So Teen Mom was a spinoff.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was the same group of girls that went from being pregnant to them being moms. And but it was just, it was a lot of drama between the girls.
Right.
It was just a typical reality show.
Well.
But they're getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, they're 16 and pregnant, but they are being paid.
Right.
You know, for being on the show.
Right. Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, but it sure helped her become sort of celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gone on to do... She's definitely become, I think, the most successful one out of the...
Of all of them.
Of all of them. Because the rest are usually in... And there was a sex tape scandal with her. But she kind of overcame that. And
oh, so she did have a sex tape scandal.
I don't know the details, but really? There was a scandal.
Really?
And obviously it was blown up because she was on 16 and pregnant. And she's Teen Mom. And,
yeah.
But she's... She released an album.
Yeah.
And yeah, now she's writing a book and she's had many spin-off series, like she said, that she's done on different shows like Comedy Central,
right.
Comedy, different channels.
Wow. So she established
a
name.
Yeah, it worked out for her. Yeah, she established a name for sure.
Yeah, very cool.
She's often on the magazine fronts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shows you how much I follow that. But it's probably women's magazines, right?
Exactly. That, yeah. 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom are definitely more women's shows than men's shows. I don't think their audience is particularly male-driven.
Yeah. Although it sounds interesting to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another type of reality show. I mean, there's literally every type of reality show that you can imagine now.
Right.
Every single type.
That's true, huh?
I mean, yeah.
They do everything. They follow everybody everywhere.
Yeah.
And people are willing to do that. I mean, I don't understand what celebrities do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. You know, why do you need it? But I guess some people feel maybe they're losing their fame or something and they want to be back in the headlines.
Yeah.
And they do
and
it.
And people watch.
Yeah, people do watch. Crazy.
Yeah.
So let's see some headlines and stories. I guess you know who Kelsey Grammer is from what was it? Frasier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frasier. And so I guess he's taken out a cause of to take on errors in grammar on Twitter. So, you know, grammar, I guess maybe he figured I should do something about this,
yeah.
You know. It's not spelled the same, but regardless, it sounds the same. And so he decided, now, you know what, I'm all for it, you know. I mean, come on, let's start. And especially with those tweets that only have hashtags, how can you read that, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's like, you know, so some people like make... Like, I don't know, they have a certain style of tweeting that I can't read.
That you can't understand.
Right.
Yeah. But in 100, and minus the hashtags, but in 140 characters, it's hard to use grammar.
That's true.
It's really hard to get everything you want to say. Like today, I tweeted my new blog post that's on my website.
Uh-huh.
And to get what I wanted to say plus the link was so hard.
Yeah. Huh?
It was so, I had to abbreviate.
Everything,
I think I put the number 2 instead of T-O because I needed the character. And it drives me crazy, but I had to.
That's true. You wonder why they still limit it to only 140 characters. You know, maybe because they want to keep it short and to the point. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you go on Facebook, there's like a whole freedom to write whatever the hell you
right.
want, you know, and however
but
long
But I'm kind of glad
want.
Twitter's not like that. If Twitter was like that... As many, you could say whatever you wanted.
You wouldn't have time to read it all.
That's the whole thing of Twitter. It's like a quick burst of what you want to say.
Right.
But sometimes in 140 characters, you can't say exactly what you want to say.
Exactly.
So the grammar kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, I know. So people just post Twitter names and stuff on there.
Yeah.
And they don't say much of anything. But yeah, I realize that Twitter is pretty, It's pretty effective in certain ways.
Yeah, it can be for sure.
But so, I mean, I'm wondering how he's going to fight all this. You know, maybe he means like in English, look, maybe not like shortening the words and stuff. I think that's okay. But if people misspell things, you know, I mean, there's no excuse for that.
Right.
If you're going to write out the whole word, you might as well write it.
Spell it right.
Yeah, and spell it correctly.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's what he's after. And let's see, since Fraser, he's been true to his mission, correcting tweets. Okay. So he started on June 30th. So it's only a couple days ago that he started doing this. And
I wonder who's tweeting. Tell them then.
Here, there's a tweet here. It has come to my attention that the fine people of Twitter have an egregious, how do you say this word? I don't know, egregious, I don't know. I've never seen this word before. But they have a grammar problem. I'm here to help.
Huh.
That's what he says. And
I bet a lot of people liked it and favorited it and retweeted.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's, 2,000 retweets.
There we go.
Yeah, 1,600 favorites. Wow. Yeah, that's the thing about celebrities, you know, and I don't really follow celebrities on Facebook or anything, but somehow I think we had the author Anne Rice on the station at one point, so I befriended her, and she wrote, like, all these vampire movies.
Uh-huh.
She's got, like, about a million fans on Facebook. Every time she puts a post, I immediately, the first thing I look at is not what she wrote, but
how many
comments and likes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Charlotte, in 15 minutes, she'll accumulate a few thousand.
It's crazy.
A few thousand likes and comments in 15 minutes. I mean, what is this? Can you imagine the kind of power and influence you have?
Right.
Right?
But that's the scary thing. When you have that much, you've got to be so careful with what you say and what you do.
That's true.
Because you're influencing
so many people. Right.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I imagine many of the more famous people have even more of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by far a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow any fan book pages of celebrities?
Not so much. A few people that I've interviewed.
Okay.
I follow them.
Right.
But
no Justin Bieber or Britney Spears anymore.
No. No one like that.
I know. It's like, who cares what they have to say, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I follow news outlets and things like that, but I only follow any, it's a celebrity that I've interviewed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty cool.
And then I've created a relationship with.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Who cares, right? I know. Remember we talked about Joan London the other day, who has cancer, and I told her she was a host on Good Morning America for many years. And so now she says she decided to shave her head. That's just the headline. I don't know what the story is, because it would lead me to a video. But wow, that's interesting. And she's a very pretty woman to this day. You know, she's pretty, she's much older, probably in her 50s, late 50s or something. And she's got cancer, breast cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
We said. And she's going to shave her head. Maybe to sort of like identify with cancer survivors and stuff like that, right?
Or
cancer patients. And maybe that's why she's doing that. But I'm sure.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Or maybe just to save the hassle of seeing her hair.
Maybe.
Falling off.
Yeah, the pain of that.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation.
Of chemo and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very sad.
Yeah. yeah, I know. Let's see. Oh, they were talking about this. Did you hear about this woman that injected her butt with the stuff, you know, to look better, like plastic surgeons do?
No.
But she had it done not by a doctor, like cheap injections, and she totally started like.
Wow.
Well, she sustained injuries and stuff, you know.
I bet.
Like, she's, I mean, her.
It's not the kind of stuff you play around with.
No. I mean, what happened is her limbs started to sort of like bend and stuff, you know. And they were curling and turning black. the visible signs of necrosis. Wow, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
But it has to do with death, I'm sure. Necro is death.
Wow.
So she says, oh, my God, I thought I was going to lose my hands and my feet. We're dead, too. So she was amputated and stuff. So apparently...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So apparently she died.
But why would you do that?
Yeah. Because she wanted to look better, I guess. I don't get. Maybe she wanted a butt or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they do the injections for. Or maybe it's to, I don't know, get rid of the fat or something, you know, mm-hmm. make your ass smaller. I don't know. But I can't believe the stuff that people do. I mean, why would you inject anything like this? It's called dermal filler device, and they're not improved for self-injection, you know. And people are doing this. They're injecting in. They're ordering this online, and injecting themselves.
Oh no!
I know.
Oh no!
People are crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's a testimonial that someone died by doing it. So you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that. Even yeah. if you don't die, I mean, who wants your hands to curl and your legs? My God, how scary!
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. In Michigan, a man is charged with punching death of a soccer referee. I guess this is an adult league, and they're saying that the referee did not provoke him or anything, and the player just punched him and killed him. He actually died, this referee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be, I mean, when you're punching someone and killing them, you know exactly where to punch them that's and how hard to punch that's going to kill them.
Right. And then they're saying, I mean, after the man attacked him, he gave a middle finger to the onlookers and then fled.
Wow.
Yeah. But
he was on the team?
He was on the team, so I'm sure they're going to know who the hell he is. But they're not
there's
saying.
Yeah, there's got to be a bunch of witnesses.
Right. And, I mean, just imagine, oh, they do know who it is. Well, a Muslim name.
Wow.
Yeah, why am I not surprised? But, yeah, I mean, there's just like, all kinds of shit happening and people hurting other people, and I just don't get it. And you know, and being a referee, it's like you're always in the line of fire, you know. Because
but you don't think that someone on the team is gonna be the one that attacks you.
I know
completely.
Yeah, very high risk job. So don't become a referee in football.
In Mexico City, 22 were
killed. Soccer. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. In Mexico City, 22 were killed in a gunfight. Oh, southwest of Mexico City. It was 22 gang members.
Wow.
In the bloodiest shootout with security forces since President Enrique Peña Nieto.
Uh-huh.
Did I say that right?
I don't know.
Since he took power.
Oh.
I mean, for 22 gun.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. But you know what? Good riddance, you know? 22 less gang members in the world.
It's true. And it was the... The town was known for the gang members.
Let them kill themselves.
Gang violence.
Each other. Yeah.
But that's a big blowout.
It really is.
20 people that die.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all those gangs are modern day mafia. That's all
right.
It is, you know, and they're intimidating people and killing and doing whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, they can scare entire towns.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today. We have one more day of show this week. And then we get 3 days off, right?
3 day weekend.
Looking forward to that. Okay, everybody, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Farah Abraham for calling in, and we'll see each other tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.